Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can I give you a little bit of news?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, we like news.
This is interesting.
Is it breaking news?
No, this is standard run-of-the-mill
news.
News, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is not destructive news. It doesn't break anything. It's okay. Just news.
News.
You mean like when local news stations decided they put a banner up on everything that was breaking news?
And so breaking news is always red.
And then no one wants to watch it anymore because they don't believe it's really breaking news
anymore.
There's
always breaking news to start a newscast.
And then it's breaking news from yesterday.
Go ahead. Like, okay,
can I read this before another ad pops up on here and yells at me?
Yeah.
All right, so this is courtesy of Sportico. The Tampa Bay Rays are in advanced talks to sell the team to a group led by Jacksonville, Florida developer Patrick Zalupski. I'm going Zalupski. According to multiple sources who asked not to be named, the details are private. Deal values the team at $1.7 billion. Wow. So apparently the Tampa Bay Rays are close to being sold to a Jacksonville developer, on top of the fact that they canceled their new stadium. They were looking maybe to repair the old one as they play at Steinbrenner Field. That's really interesting.
Could that mean a move to Jacksonville?
And that point, too.
I would think not.
I would think so.
I would think Jacksonville is not a big enough market to support a Major League Baseball team.
But they are for, I guess, Green Bay is.
NFL team is a different story. I mean, it's, 10 games.
What are they, the Jumbo Shrimp, their minor league baseball team? I think they're the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. I wonder what their
attendance
is.
I love when you ask questions on the air.
Well, we all do. You know why? Because normal people have conversations like that.
Well, we're having
if you're
going to
sit here for 20 hours a week and you're going to have a conversation.
I asked the question earlier. I asked about the instrumentation on the theme for Sanford.
Tenor sax, alto sax.
See, oh, it's tenor and alto. It wasn't soprano sax.
Let's not try to be phonies and act like we know everything.
You are correct, Andy. It is the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
That I did know. Because it's one of my favorite nicknames, I think.
I wonder, though. Is Jacksonville a market that can support Major League Baseball? I don't think so.
Well, the question is, can they support Major League Baseball and the NFL? Because when people talk about Cleveland, the struggle is the corporate dollars being stretched out between the Cavs, the Guardians, and the Browns. And that's and a lot of people always go, oh, Andy, why don't we have the NHL here? Well, that's probably one of the reasons.
We are the smallest market in the country
with three.
That has the big three in our country. Baseball, football, NBA.
I'll pretend I didn't hear you get snooty about the NHL. Well,
no, I'm not knocking the NHL.
Or Major League Soccer for some reason.
The NHL, but let's be fair. Don't you think the big three in the country are basketball, football, and baseball?
Yeah, no, I totally do.
Yeah, so
I'm with you.
The NHL is terrific.
Give me a hard time.
Yeah,
the average attendance for the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, 5,114. Yeah. But that was in 2023.
Well, and they're not designed to...
Well, they did just set an attendance record. They set an attendance record.
Great.
In Jacksonville. Would you move over to Jacksonville? I don't know how many.
I don't think it'll support it.
The Rays, St. Petersburg hasn't been exactly the greatest place for Major League Baseball. It's been horrible.
Well,
if you go back and look at the history,
the worst stadium in the biz.
Agree. And the fact that it's not in Tampa and it's in St. Petersburg does not help. Because, you end up pushing the games 15 minutes back because everyone gets stuck on the bridge trying to get over there. It takes forever. If they played in Tampa, I think there was a level of excitement for them to move over to Steinbrenner, right?
Heck yeah.
And folks are going over there. They want to watch it. They want to see it. Now, they need a roof because it's brutal to try to play there with the rain. Between Miami and Tampa, I can't tell you how many games have been saved in Tampa because they've had a roof. They get horrible thunderstorms. I can remember being down there for an entire series where you would just see and hear the thunderstorms going on outside, but you're still playing ball because you got the roof over your head.
There you go.
I could see Jacksonville. If you're going to put $1 billion in, wouldn't you want to move them over to Jacksonville?
Andy, I don't think the market will support Major League Baseball. That's my point. It's not that you couldn't move it there. Sure, you could move it there if you want to lose your shirt.
I don't know that they're doing so great in Tampa.
Yeah, but so let's take it to an even smaller market.
So if you think
Tampa's a good market.
Tampa is a good mark. St. Pete kills them. St. Pete
but
kills
it's still,
them.
It's still Tampa. It's Tampa, St. Pete. It's the TV market.
It'd be like the Browns moving out to Not even close. Don't do it. Oh, it's not funny today.
No, Jacksonville is not a big enough market to support Major League Baseball.
They get these people in there for football. Why couldn't they get,
10 games, Andy? 10, not 81.
You don't think that there are enough big cities kind of along the coast that would drive up to Jacksonville to go watch a baseball game?
They're not driving to St. Pete.
No, they're not driving to St. Pete.
They'd probably go to Tampa. You really want to do it? Put it on I-4 somewhere between Tampa and Orlando. Then you'd have something.
You got a steady rise of population in Jacksonville.
3-2 last night, your Guardians beating San Francisco Giants, going interleague, beating the Giants in a beautiful ballpark.
You got that space coast.
Andy, I made the comment before we went to break. Have they done it again? Have they done it again?
Jeff, have they done it again?
You tell me.
Okay. Ask me the question again.
Your guy Slade the real deal?
I think he is. He's definitely a rotational guy for the rest of the year. There's any question that he's a guy that should be in the rotation for the rest of the year?
I don't think so. I like him. I like the way he throws. And I say, have they done it again? And it's for this reason. This organization, historically, in recent history, not 50 years ago, does a really nice job of identifying young pitching in other organizations and bringing it in.
They do.
Now, before we go any deeper, yes, I'd much rather have Josh Naylor than Slade Ciccone, at least right now. Much rather have Josh. But they traded Josh and they got Slade in the deal along with a compensatory draft choice. But they've done this before. They may have done it twice this year. Luis Ortiz, Slade Ciccone. Two guys, other organizations, not necessarily, top of mind starters with other teams, but they bring him in. And I can see what the Guardians saw in both and what they wanted to acquire. I like Ortiz. He's not been perfect. I like Slade. He's not been perfect, but he pitched very well last night, and I like him. He attacks. I like that a lot. Think about Corey Kluber. You dug up Corey Kluber back in the day, gave him a chance. Mike Clevinger, at one point, you got Clevinger out of the Angel organization. Emmanuel Clase, who you got out of the Ranger organization. This team does a great job of unearthing young pitching. You bring it in, you polish it up, then you put it on the mound, and you get it done. And I think it appears that they're on their way to doing it two more times with Ortiz and with your guy Slade.
It feels good. I just, they need a bat, Jeff. And I'll go back to yesterday's conversation about who you're going to trade.
We just did a wonderful whole pitching setup.
I know.
You immediately took me to a bat.
No, yes, because you can have
We're
all
talking
this pitching
about the work. Rotation. I'm talking pitching, how good they are at finding it.
I'm
and you
sorry,
go, they need
Jeff,
a bat.
Jeff, they do. And you know
well,
it
we
as
know
well
that.
As I do. So if you have all this wonderful pitching, are you willing to get rid of some of it to bring in some hitting? If you feel like you've laid out this wonderful story.
How can you have enough pitching?
A wonderful story about pitching.
You don't have enough.
But yet they seem to have some kind of.
You don't have enough.
They have some miracle grow in the garden that makes pitchers just come out of the ground and play great for them. And they do it time and time again. Something is unbelievably right with the way they go out and find pitchers. And they've done this now since they kind of made the realization in the 90s that they needed to have strong pitching because they didn't have the pitching when they had the hitting back then, when they had an abundance of hitting.
Well, I guess I'll just have to continue with the hitting theme then.
No, you don't have to. I mean, like, I'm with you on the pitching. And I'm more than happy to talk about it.
You took a full left turn.
I did not take a full left turn.
Dan, did you take a full left or did you just veer left?
It's a veer.
Okay, you veered.
But a natural veer. A veer that makes sense.
It's just we're at a fork in the road and we can come back together here if we need to. We can get back on the interstate. We just kind of got off for a second, got some gas, now we're getting back on. Not very far away.
It's clear that the organization has had some issues with developing power hitters. And part of it you can even see because they've bailed on them.
Okay, so now we're talking hitting? I just want to make
sure. Well, you made
blame
us go
me.
There.
Blame me. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I laid out the whole pitching thing. I thought we were going pitching.
And I don't have a problem. But
then all of a sudden, the first
word out
of your
mouth is pitching till we're blue in the face.
Bat.
Jeff, their plus minus is minus 25. They're minus 25.
Well, then the pitchers need to do a better job and hold them down.
That's a plus minus to me. I call it plus minus.
No, you're all good in the hood.
I know.
Pitchers do a better job. You can get your plus minus more up than the plus. That was a joke.
I hear you. I'm just trying to think of all these games where they've, you know, like yesterday, does Stephen Vogt have to manage every game like he did yesterday? Yesterday, he hit every right button at the right time.
You mean like he did last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yesterday was a one-game sample
of what we saw from last year. I think he does have to, Andy.
Oh, that margin of error makes it so difficult and so stressful. There's no cushion. There isn't. Do you concur?
I would think that's correct. It's weird that the organization, and he's back now. The year you drafted Will Benson and Nolan Jones in the first and second round, and then you gave up on both of them. That's weird. Isn't that weird? So whatever it is with the organization, they seem to like the guys who can play the middle infield spot and slap the ball around rather than guys who might have big swing and miss. I wonder if that's changing. You know, think about it. I'm not saying this for effect. Oscar Gonzalez, then John Kenzie Noel. Jonathan Rodriguez is here now. Nolan Jones is back. Maybe they're trying to bring in some of those guys and see if, you know, we can actually develop somebody who can do that. The pitching is huge. You can't have enough of it. And the reason why, the epidemic that has become the UCL injury. Dr. Dan Zanotti from the Center of Orthopedics is an expert in that surgery. And it's the Tommy John surgery. And he's going to join us next to talk about what has led to this explosion of this one specific injury in Major League Baseball, in college baseball, in high school baseball, actually. Dr. Dan, coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's become one of these stories in baseball, unfortunately, and it's not about hitting, and it's not about fielding, and it's not even about pitching. It's about injuries, and arm injuries in particular, and one specific arm injury called the torn UCL, the ulnar collateral ligament, and it has become an epidemic. A gentleman who is trained in that injury, trained to fix it, and you hear him on the station here. He's Dr. Dan Zanotti from the Center for Orthopedics. Dr. Dan, good to have you with us.
Hey, Dr. Dan.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
We appreciate you joining us for this because, man, it's become such a huge deal in baseball that it's the thing that every pitcher dreads and coaches try to avoid, the torn UCL leading to Tommy John reconstructive surgery. This surgery actually started with Dr. Frank Jobe. You trained with Dr. Jobe, is that correct?
I did. I got the opportunity and the honor to train with Dr. Jobe, certainly after he started doing these procedures, but it was revolutionary, and we had the fortune of taking care of many baseball players, professional and minor league as well. So it was a fascinating time to be with him as he developed and honed this technique.
It started in 1974, and the first Major League Baseball player to have it was Tommy John. Thus the Tommy John surgery. How do you think, and did Dr. Jobe ever mention to you, how did he sell that to Tommy John?
Well, at the time, it was really the end of pitchers' careers, so there really was no alternative. So I think convincing him to do this was easy because it was just a chance to come back and be able to throw and pitch in the big leagues again, and certainly he wanted to do that. So it wasn't really a hard sell, probably, and then given the success, we can see where it's gone from there.
Just to explain it, like we say Tommy John, most people think it's arm surgery, but what actually is it?
So it's a tear in one of the major ligaments of the elbow. It's one of the big stabilizing ligaments on the inside of the elbow. And when throwers torque their arm, they put a tremendous amount of stretch on that ligament. Over time, that ligament can then stretch and eventually tear. And when that happens, you lose strength, you lose ability. And at that level of pitching, any amount of decreased velocity or ability to pitch becomes an inability to throw anymore. So it was really a career-ending injury before this procedure.
The injury itself has become just astronomical as far as the numbers of pitchers who have this, whether it be at the pro level, at the college level, at the high school level. How has it become the main injury, Dr. Dan, as compared to before the Tommy John surgery? It used to be shoulders like crazy. Rotator cuffs seemed to be the big issue. Why now? Why the explosion in this certain injury?
There's a lot of reasons. We're much more aware of it, obviously, and now that there's a treatment for it, people are seeking out that treatment once they have an injury. So before, it kind of got ignored and you just couldn't throw as hard. Now we know that there's treatment options. Not that there's still not rotator cuff injuries and other things. We certainly see those as well. But I think the popularity, for lack of a better word, and the ability to fix some of these and get patients back to pitching has become so significant that you hear about it more and more.
But how young are athletes getting it?
Unfortunately, it's very young. You know, we see people throwing now in their early teens, certainly 10, 12 years old. A lot of these kids are throwing constantly year round at camps and other things. And we see it in younger and younger patients, which is concerning. It's also related to a number of other things, and we can talk about some of that in a little bit in terms of the metrics and things that we're seeing now. But it really relates to these younger pitchers throwing, and then when they get to the older stages, the velocity that they throw at, and it's just becoming more and more common, as you mentioned.
So if you're a parent and you got a kid who's pitching, I mean, like, I'm not really asking to be a baseball expert, but should they not be, how important is rest to make sure that you don't have to have Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, we made a lot of strides. You know, pitch counts are more popular, and that certainly helps, but it's also due to velocity. So these kids need rest. They need time to heal. I'm a big proponent of playing multiple sports at that age, because if you stick with one sport all year, you're just continually injuring the same area. So we're identifying factors that can help, but, you know, then again, there's the competitive nature of kids and parents, and they want to play and they want to get better and they want to get scholarships. And I get that. That's a real concern for patients.
Dr. Dan Zanotti is joining us from the Center for Orthopedics, and we're talking about Tommy John surgery and repairing the ulnar collateral ligament. Is it velocity for most pitchers, Dr. Dan? Is it spin? Is it trying to, you know, to move the ball like crazy? Does that put more stress on it, or is it a combination of all of the above?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a combination. And one of the really interesting things that we've developed with new technology now is to monitor these metrics in terms of spin rate, location, certainly velocity. Velocity is the big one. Everybody knows now that the harder you throw, the more likely you are to tear the ligament. That's just been out there and proven for a little while. But we're also seeing things like accuracy and spin rate also negatively affect this ligament. Mm. So as pitchers get more precise, as they put more demand on their elbow to be precise and to hit higher spin ratios, it's also related to tearing this ligament. So it's multifactorial, and it's really interesting now that we have this information on these metrics to look at some of these things and how they correlate with the injury.
I've read of a different type of procedure, and I want you to explain it for us if you can. Rather than having the full-blown Tommy John, you hear some guys say, I had the internal brace. What is the difference between the two? What does that do, and does it affect the overall healing of that injury?
Yeah, the Tommy John surgery has gone through several iterations, from Dr. Job's first surgery to different techniques. There's some information on newer techniques now where we use what's called an internal brace to help stabilize the elbow. The idea being that we can still fix some of these tears, not all of them certainly, but some of them can be fixed rather than replaced. And by putting an internal brace inside the elbow, it gives a little bit more support and protects the ligament while things heal. That's really been popular with the partial tear patients. So we see this now. Patients are coming in with partial tears, not full tears, and wanting to do this type of procedure to get back to pitching. That creates other dilemmas as well, but there's been some increased popularity in that, and it's certainly out there that patients are seeking.
Just baseball, or are you seeing more injuries from different sports?
Yeah, we see it in all different sports. Football players, quarterbacks, there's been some famous quarterbacks from competitive teams around the league that have had that done. We see it in gymnasts who are pushing off with their arms sometimes. So we see it in many different sports, not just pitchers.
Best way, is there a best way to avoid such an injury while also improving yourself as a pitcher in today's climate for pitching?
Yeah, we know that overall conditioning helps. So certainly, and even with rotator cuff injuries, core conditioning, lower body strengthening, and these are all things at the major league level that these pitchers are working on constantly throughout the year. Some of the younger amateur players in high school and teenage players don't necessarily have that capability or expertise, but working on overall conditioning is huge. Giving your arm time to rest, also huge. Whether you're a major league pitcher or a teenage pitcher, you need that ability to let your arm heal. So whether it's pitch counts or innings pitched, that sort of thing, we need to be very cognizant of letting these patients have time to heal.
I guess I'm asking this more on the preventative side, to not have to have Tommy John. How hard is it for that conversation for the parent and the coach to have that, you know, you've got this 11, 12-year-old kid that can just throw smoke, and all of a sudden, you know, the coach is leaving a kid out there for 100 pitches night after night after night. How what would you say the best way is to approach a coach I think from a parent perspective, you know, without looking like a helicopter parent, I think it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, it's very hard, and I spend probably more time counseling the parent and the patient rather than doing the actual surgery sometimes, because you really want to prevent it from happening in the first place. You know, you just have to be smart. You know, you want these kids and athletes to be able to have a career, and you don't want them to burn their arms out too soon, because we know from the success rate of the surgery, it is not perfect. There's some studies showing, you know, less than 50% of pitchers get back to their previous level. It's not 100% success by any means. So anything we can do educationally, talking to the patients, talking to the parents, talking to the coaches to try to understand, we really are concerned about the long-term nature of this injury and the long-term success of the student-athlete is really important.
The interesting thing, and Dr. Dan Zanotti joining us from the Center for Orthopedics, we're talking about the Tommy John surgery. As you said, it's certainly not foolproof, and the success rate, though good, isn't perfect. But sometimes you see guys come back from this, Dr. Dan, and they throw harder than they did before, and they pick up right where they left off and are even better. How does that happen? And could you explain along with that, what's the process for returning from this? Shane Bieber, hopefully returning for the Guardians, you know, sometime sooner rather than later. What do pitchers go through once they have it?
That's a great point, Jeff. I think you have to understand that it really doesn't make your arm stronger, okay? Your native elbow anatomy is probably as good as it's ever going to get. The problem is that these pitchers probably have a slow decline in their metrics, so their velocity goes down somewhat, their spin rate goes down while they're dealing with this injury starting to occur. So when we do a successful reconstruction and somebody is able to get back to pitch at a high level, it's probably that they're getting back to their normal level, not necessarily where they were when they just went out before their injury. So I really try to tell my patients that it's really not going to make you better than you were before, but it may be improved from when you were dealing with this injury in the meantime. The rehab is a long process. As everybody knows, a standard Tommy John surgery is usually at least 18 months and sometimes 2 years to really get back to a high level of pitching, even when it is successful. So it's a long process. It's a commitment by the team, by the player, to really go through the rehab necessary to get that arm to that level.
The internal brace is something a little different. Are there more things maybe in the pipeline, Dr. Dan, that can help with this? I'm sure stuff's being worked on all the time, but is there anything close?
I don't think there's anything close right now. There's certainly a lot of research going on with this. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, multi-million dollar contracts and pitchers. So anything we can do to get these players back to being productive and performing at a high level is worth pursuing. There's different techniques in terms of the fixation of the ligament, in terms of how we stitch it together. There's certainly more rehab-related advances that we're looking at. There's also biologics, things like trying to incorporate your own body healing into the surgical procedure. So there's lots of neat stuff out there. I just don't think we have anything around the corner, so to speak, in the next year or two that's going to be available.
You know, the one thing I've always wondered, it seems like it's a luck of the draw in many instances. Obviously, some guys are overextending and throwing harder than maybe they should. But then you look at a guy like Nolan Ryan, who threw gas until he was in his late 40s. Is a lot of it just luck of the draw? Is it genetics? I loved your thought about the training and the core and everything else. But I just wonder, is there anything that a major league pitcher can do Or do you just keep your fingers crossed and do your thing?
Yeah, and Nolan Ryan's a perfect example. I mean, he was able to throw in the hundreds for his entire career and never had an elbow issue. It's just, it's really amazing. So there certainly has to be a genetic component to it. The training makes a difference, no doubt. We've learned that in general, if you, you know, condition, if you keep your core and lower body stronger, you're at less risk, but it's not zero. You know, you look at somebody like Paul Skeens, who's super dynamic to watch and really fun, and you just worry that something is going to happen at his velocity level. Because he's an amazing talent, but maybe he isn't. Maybe he's going to be a Nolan Ryan, and it won't affect him like it does other pitchers. But we just don't know is the bottom line.
And you mentioned Skeens. I watch him, and I just, every time I watch him, Dr. Dan, I think, oh, please, dear God, don't let him get hurt. And then Shohei Ohtani's back. He's had it twice. I can't imagine coming back from it twice and being able to throw. How does that happen?
Yeah, and revision surgery is even less successful. So make no mistake about it. The second time around, it's not nearly as easy to get back. And he's obviously an amazing athlete and talent, and we hope that he is. But the numbers are against him, quite honestly. I know he just started pitching again, and hopefully there won't be another injury, because by the second or third time, there's not much left to fix, quite honestly.
Thank you for being with us. That's some really great information, and certainly enlightening us on something that is dominating pitching in Major League Baseball and college and high school and everything. So thank you, Dr. Dan.
Thanks, Dr. Dan.
Happy to help, guys. Appreciate it.
Dr. Dan Zanotti from the Center for Orthopedics joining us right here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. We just had Dr. Dan Zanotti from the Center for Orthopedics on the show. And Menegan is a baseball nut.
Oh, man. When he said velo and spin rate,
Dan was,
I think
Dan,
well, there was it was a like a little kid. It was like a little kid at a birthday party.
And Dan wanted to have Dr. Dan on the show. And
we've talked
about trying to get him on the show because of this very thing.
Yeah.
But it's something that, I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you know about this. You know about Tommy John surgery. And you kind of probably know what it is. You know, Tommy John actually pitched 26 years in Major League Baseball. And he came back and pitched, I don't know, 12 years after, maybe a little longer than that, after his surgery. It might have been even longer than that. By the way, Tommy John started his career with?
Us.
Yep, the Cleveland Indians. If you heard Dr. Dan, if you didn't, go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app on our website. It was really informative. But as he said, you can train lower body muscle, core strength. That can help. Genetics, huge. And I mentioned Nolan Ryan to him, and he said, you know, here's a guy who's thrown, you know, gas his entire career. Nolan pitched 27 major league seasons. 46 was when he pitched, the age of 46, his mm-hmm. last year.
Mm-hmm.
When he was 45, Andy, he still started 27 games. When he was 45. And in his 40s, Nolan Ryan started at the major league level successfully. 34, 33, 32, 30, 27, 27, and then 13 games. When he was in his 40s. And he didn't have any major injuries. I mean, the dude pitched every year. And he did it by throwing heat. Greg Maddux, who we know also benefited from a very wide strike zone in the 1995 World Series, but let's not talk about that too much, basically started 25 games a year for 23 straight seasons. And he did it by throwing the ball where he wanted to place it, which Dr. Dan said puts more stress on things a little bit.
Right.
And by spinning it like crazy. So, you know, you're talking about two of the greatest pitchers of all time, really no major arm issues, and they did it different ways, which makes you think, keep your fingers crossed, it's a crapshoot. I mean, we saw Ben Lively just grab his arm the other day on the mound. He's out for a year, year and a half. He's going to have UCL. He just had it.
Yeah.
UCL construction.
Sometimes I think we just take it for granted. Like, oh, is it hurt? Oh, Tommy John. But, I mean, one, it's a surgery, right? So there's no guarantee.
Any surgery, is a serious deal.
And then there's also more to it. I mean, it's just like, you know, you're either, you know, the UCL and the elbow, and you're talking about a tendon graft there, and then you're talking about that graft could either come from your own body or from a deceased donor, too.
Well, part of the big recovery is the incision on your leg, if it comes from you.
Yeah, and but if, you know, and so, you know, not to kind of mix things up a little bit, but when I talk about LifeBank all the time and I talk about organ donation, this is part of the game, too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, and I often find it interesting that, you know, sometimes there are athletes that end up having the, that'll end up having Tommy John and they'll use cadaver. And like, I want those guys to get out there and start, you know, talking about LifeBank and organ donation all the time too. So not, it's interesting because I don't think people think about it. They just gloss over it and they're like, oh, Tommy John, it's fixed.
It's an interesting thing in baseball, especially at the major league level. You see 26 man rosters and, you know, half of them are pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a really good pitcher, relief pitcher, you throw 70 games a year. If you're heavily used, and what do you pitch? 80 innings? As opposed to a position player who, if he plays 150 games, look at the number of innings. He's playing well over 1,000 innings. And the injury rate, next to nothing compared to a pitcher. And Dan, that's scary. If you're an organization, if you're a pitcher, just knowing that, hey, I must take care of this. Arm care is just such a huge part of it.
So I pulled up Fangraphs real quick, and I just wanted to run down the 60-day IL, right? Because they do a really good job at that stuff. 50 guys right now are on the 60-day IL with UCL surgeries. Whether it's the internal brace or Tommy John.
Say it again.
50 players on major league rosters. That's only major league, are on the IL, the 60-day IL right now with either internal brace surgery or Tommy John.
It was strange to hear Dr. Dan say, and he gave the figure about 50%.
Yeah.
Because we almost think it's automatic now.
You think it's like puberty for pitchers. It's like, oh, your UCL popped.
So AI would tell you.
Okay, go on in. Let's get you a new one and let's go.
Yeah. It's not that easy.
AI says approximately 1/3 of active MLB pitchers have undergone UCL reconstruction.
This is a problem that Major League Baseball needs to do something about.
Count college.
Yeah. But what, Dan?
I don't
see
know.
That's the thing. But
because
what?
Because it's almost become borderline gross. Like, you're sitting there and watching these guys, and we use Skeens as the perfect example. We're sitting there watching these guys, and every time they throw, it's like a ticking time bomb.
Every time I watch Skeens throw, I feel the same way.
Burns, when he blew his out. And you've got the Arizona Diamondbacks who invested $250 million into this guy. Now he's blown out an elbow.
And
we'll see
in
2 years.
Yeah, and just got him.
Yeah. And you made the right move. You needed to address your starting pitching. You went out and got one of the best guys available.
Well, one thing to remember here, and when Ron Darling was on the show a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to Ron, you threw 200 innings, and I forget how many years in a row it was. I said, last year, only five guys in all of Major League Baseball threw 500 or threw 200 innings. What Major League teams are doing is this. You're seeing guys throw fewer innings on a season and per start, but they're throwing it at max capacity. And so go out and throw your you-know-what off for five innings, 4 2/3, maybe six, and we'll get you out of there, which means though you're not pitching as many innings, you're putting max stress on your body, max stress on your arm, on your shoulder, and that's leading to a lot of this, rather than having Gaylord Perry go out and throw 15, 20 complete games, having Bob Feller go out and throw 27 complete games, because they're pitching, they're not just throwing at max capacity.
The other question I forgot to ask because I wanted to ask it was the pitch clock and how that's affecting rates. And what they're saying is after two seasons, the implementation of the MLB pitch clock, there was a decrease in the incidence of overall injury rates and lower extremity injuries. There remains no associated increase in UCLA surgery. UCL surgeries 2 years after the implementation of the clock.
Although you'll hear,
I think it's too early to tell.
You'll hear the argument the other way that just says, okay, if you're making a pitcher throw a little bit earlier than maybe he's ready, that means in 10 minutes, you're throwing 20 pitches as opposed to 20 pitches in 13, 14 minutes. And that little bit of rest can be a critical thing.
And I know these guys are all being compensated. And so, it's hard for people to feel bad for people who are being that well compensated.
Like football.
But still,
your body's on the line. If you're a baseball player, especially a pitcher, your arm's on the line.
Teams are treating this, or so it seems, I should put it that way. These teams and the way that this is all starting to set up is almost treating this where it's like, yeah, we'll throw them out there. Okay, boom. All right, get the next one.
Yeah.
All right, your turn to rehab.
Yeah.
You got to rehab through here. Okay, get the next one. Boom. All right, there goes that one. Now bring in the next one. We're talking about human beings. Like, it's gross. And I wonder if there is something that can be done to stop this. And again, these guys are agreeing to it that I'm going to throw max velocity and I'm going to do all this. And I'm very well aware of the risk that is taking place in front of me.
You know what can be done? Emphasis on pitching rather than throwing.
But the thing, man, is we're in this world where even if you're just pitching, they're still telling you you need to go out there and pitch at 101. And they're still telling you you need to pitch at a 95 mile an hour slider that falls off the table. I mean, DeGrom is the perfect example. DeGrom blew his elbow out twice. He's throwing for the Texas Rangers right now. He went out this year and said, this year I want to remove some of the velocity and I want to remove some of the break that I have on this stuff. And he's been incredibly successful.
He's been
this
really
is like
good
a big deal.
Yeah, he's been good.
That some dude is walking out there going, you know what? I'm only going to throw 97. I'm not going to throw 101 anymore. I'm only going to throw 97. That's like a big deal. We're really locked in on this.
What's better in pitching, as far as I've always been told, location is better than velocity. If you can put a 97-mile-an-hour fastball where a guy can't hit it as opposed to a 101-mile-an-hour fastball down the middle of the plate, you're pitching, not just throwing. And that can be a huge thing. Bottom line is, if you're a pitcher, that's part of the business. You don't have a choice. You're running the risk. But, if you want to take it back even further, major league teams, when they're scouting pitchers, look at velocity.
Sure.
I mean, it's just that's what they look at. Can you spin it? Yeah. Can you get guys out? Yeah. But do you do that by throwing 87? Oh, good luck to you.
I also thought the other part of the conversation is interesting is we just think about this in baseball because it's called Tommy John. But, I've heard about it in football for sure. Linemen in football. Gymnastics, he talked about. Tennis, volleyball. You're talking about
anybody who's using that elbow.
Yeah. Softball. Surprised we don't. I wonder if it'll increase in softball, especially with the new. Did you guys see the new women's league?
It's been really good.
Yeah, I watched it.
It's been fun to watch.
A ton of rain.
But it's a much more natural movement
for a pitcher. We're talking about like outfielders and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're throwing overhand.
Yeah, but
and infielders.
How often? And yes, you do see it. Bryce Harper had it.
Yeah.
David Fry, coming back from it. David's not throwing this year. You see it with position players, but when you see a position player having this surgery, you almost think, really? It just doesn't happen very often.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, pitchers are the guys that, Tommy John set the stage.
Yeah, I wonder, Dan, what teams can do if they're interested in doing anything. Because you want pitchers to be at their absolute best on the mound, and their absolute best on the mound might not be backing off 3 or 4 miles per hour and giving 8 innings, going 7, heaven forbid a complete game.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, and Dr. Dan laid it out too. There's no solution here. We don't know enough. We don't know enough about the elbow, this motion and everything else and what the body does that causes this to be the area that snaps.
Yeah.
We just don't know. And so hopefully at some point, maybe we know. And it might be 20 years from now, it might be 10 years from now, it might be 5 years from now, it might be never. But at some point, hopefully we know and we can alter what we do so that we're not living in this realm of ticking time bombs and elbows. And we can look at this and have guys be safe and healthy throughout the majority of their career the way they used to. And maybe it's as simple as exactly what you said. Hey, don't throw as hard. Don't spin it as hard. And that's the answer.
Here's a good stat. Nolan Ryan in his career, complete games in 29% of his starts. Think about that. Dude's throwing gas and he's going complete game in 29% of his starts. And I'm sure it was even higher. The further you go back, Bob Feller, I'm sure, is even more. And Bob didn't have the long career that Nolan Ryan did, but Bob threw it by throwing gas most of the time. If I'm not mistaken, he felt his arm go on a curveball and wasn't the same. But that's way before you had the opportunity to have surgery to correct such things. Game 6, NBA Finals. If the Oklahoma City Thunder win it, tomorrow night, if they win, they're the NBA champs. Danny Green, our Odyssey NBA insider, he has championship rings. He's going to join us next. I can't wait to get his thoughts on the Thunder. I can't wait to get his thoughts on what should the Cavs do this offseason. Former Cav Danny Green next right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.